who was Gary Anderson, has left Wisconsin and has taken the Oregon State job. Now, I don't have any details as far as, you know, money or years or anything like that, but, you know, you and I just talked briefly, and Dan probably can tell us a lot more when he comes on, but that doesn't, on the surface, going from right. Wisconsin to Oregon State, that doesn't add up for me.
No.
Maybe there's more to the story. You know, maybe Barry Alvarez, who is the current athletic director at Wisconsin and was the head football coach, maybe he wants to, maybe, you know, Gary Anderson, I don't know, maybe he felt like Barry Alvarez had his hand in too much of the program still, or, I mean, I'm just making stuff up.
There's got to be something. That would be like coaching at Auburn and maybe going to Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Maybe hardly that bad.
No, not that bad, but... you know, Wisconsin is, you know, an outstanding football program. You know, Oregon State, I'm not throwing off on Mike Riley, but when you think of teams out west, you don't think of Oregon State. You think
of
Oregon.
They're not the first team that pops in.
No, they're not. So, you know, maybe Dan can tell us a little bit about that situation with Gary Anderson going to Oregon State. So,
and mom is the word as far as Muschamp. To my knowledge, anybody that read my Facebook today might want to read that a little further. If you click on the article, Rennie, I posted on there. Muschamp had signed a deal with Auburn, 6 years, $11.75 million. But if you clicked on it and then read it, it actually pops up and says, "You have been owned." It's a prank that I worked.
Hey, that's a guy.
Mostly for Eddie Gwynn.
So, did you work that up that day at the office, or did you do that last night at home?
Well, actually, I found that last night. So,
I knew you were going to say that. a man doesn't have time to do that kind of stuff when he's running
a
business.
That's right.
You
know, never.
Too many lives depend on you, Jason.
I never look at any sports or anything like that. I'm a total construction.
You got your nose to the grindstone, baby.
Hey,
that's why you've turned that company into what it is today.
That's it. Hey, speaking of grindstone,
our man
that is on the grindstone as far as stats and knowledge of football.
That's it, baby.
And welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday.
Hey, same to you, Dan.
Hey, Dan, right off the bat, I know we've got a lot to cover, and you've got some things you've got to do, so let's get right at it. As far as the playoff, we have our four teams now named. I don't think any shocker, with the exception maybe Ohio State may have shocked some people. Do you agree or disagree with the committee's decision?
Yeah, I agree with the decision. We talked, last week, and we were talking about TCU, obviously, a little bit overranked at three, but Ohio State, I thought you gave me a chance, or you asked me, I thought they had almost zero chance, but I didn't say zero. I thought it was very little and slim, because I thought they needed to win their game by three-plus touchdowns, and their performance over Wisconsin 59-zip, I thought was maybe the most impressive conference championship victory in the history of conference championships for them to come through at one of the biggest games in the Urban Meyer era at Ohio State. They were more than worthy, and TCU Baylor, of course, many people point to the co-champions. But at the end of the day, it's not our job to get the four most deserving teams. We got to get the four best teams. That's a hard definition,
right.
But you got to judge all the way back from September. And while Ohio State did lose to Virginia Tech, which was the worst loss, they were easily the most improved team, I think, in college football down the stretch. And they, yes, indeed, were the best four teams from August to now this moment in time. So I think they were more than worthy of getting that final bid in the playoff spot. And I think because of what they just showed us in the final game, whether it's prisoner of the moment, more than worthy and deserving.
Hey, Dan, what in the world happened to Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, the book was always written on them. If you can jump on them in an early lead, there's a good chance that they're going to, you know, fail to come back and potentially lose big time. And Ohio State, they've had their better skill players this year in terms of not just Urban Meyer era, but you got to go back to the Troy Smith era This team, Ohio State team, is the best decade, I'd say, in the last decade. This is the best skilled players they've had. But I've been touting their defensive line since pretty much August. Joey Bosa could be a top-10 pick in 2 years when he's eligible. Michael Bennett's an SEC caliber of a defensive lineman. Adelphius Washington is no jabroni. He's a solid defensive line. I think Ohio State's got arguably the best defensive line in college football, and it's really improved their secondary, which got torched at the end of last season. So certainly I think they've just showed that if you could slow the running game down of Wisconsin, make the receivers beat you, which they don't have any NFL caliber talent per se at wide receiver and tight end, and you could get on them early. In Ohio State, give credit to Cardale Jones, because obviously in his first career start he performed like any quarterback, better than any quarterback Wisconsin has seen in the last year or so. So it's simply Wisconsin kind of just wet the bed after the first quarter as soon as kickoff started, but they couldn't come back, didn't really give up on the running game, but the receivers got zero separation. They don't have any star talent in that core right there. So that's why it's, I think, a big advantage for Auburn in their bowl game against Wisconsin, because I think you could argue they have the best 1-2 punch in the country at wide receiver.
Okay, Dan, I know I'm kind of I've taken you off the path right off the bat here, but since we mentioned Wisconsin, now Gary Anderson is leaving, going to Oregon State. What's the scuttle? What are you hearing up there? Jason and I talked before we went on the air, and going from Wisconsin to Oregon State, we just don't understand that.
Yeah, many people are very confused about that move, because Pac-12, Oregon State-wise, is maybe the eighth best team in that conference and can maybe be a mid-tier team in the Pac-12. Obviously, he's from Utah, from that area in the Pac-12, some point to that. A bit more of a wide-open offense he likes to want to do at Oregon State, but many point to Barry Alvarez, and some people are in rumors and talking discussions that he, you know, maybe not the greatest coach. Barry Alvarez, of course, coaching Wisconsin, I should say, now sure. In the bowl game, but I think that some people have had issues coaching for Barry Alvarez is their AD. Certainly, we saw Bielema leave after a few years, and we'll see where he goes maybe a few years if he doesn't stay at Arkansas. He could potentially come back to his alma mater at Iowa if Kirk Ferentz ever retires or gets the axe. But I think it's just a tough place to recruit, number one. The Big Ten is not a sexy conference in terms of star recruits. Wisconsin, a premier program in terms of winning in the last couple of years, winning 9-10 games a year. They don't get superstar talent. It's great coach develop, player develop in the offensive line, in the trenches, and the running backs, but they don't get 4 and 5 stars like Alabama, Florida State, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss get in their sleep. So,
right.
I mean, they're struggling to get 3 stars. So it's not a great job if you want to win a national championship, because it's very difficult to win the Big Ten in Wisconsin's standpoint when you're competing against Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan still gets some solid recruits. We'll see how their coaching handles. But it's just not a great place to coach and win Big Ten games. And while Oregon State's really not the same,
right.
That's kind of where his home is, per se, and he wants to kind of open up a little bit offensively.
Okay.
And I think that's what we'll see at Oregon State. But certainly it's one of the biggest head-scratchers in the last few years for coaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, sorry for taking you off off the beaten path there. But back to what Jason had asked about the four teams that's in the playoffs and your thoughts of those four teams. Plus, and I don't know if Jason mentioned this, the fact about Mississippi State moving up 3 spots and jumping Michigan State. Could you talk to us about that?
Yeah, quickly, I think it just comes down to Alabama put on a clinic against Missouri, kind of won how most people thought they would, maybe not as much as they did, but Mississippi State lost a close one on the road while they were losing double figures most of that game. Mississippi State played well against Alabama, in my opinion, despite the turnovers when they lost in Tuscaloosa. Mississippi State, a better two-loss team, farly superior, in my opinion, than Michigan State. While Michigan State has barely beaten anybody good, the best win for them is Nebraska. So at the end of the day, while both didn't play, Mississippi State the better team, and despite nobody playing that week, you got to put the better team ahead, and it helps to play in the SEC West like Mississippi State has.
Okay. Along that same note of Mississippi State moving up, talk to us about TCU dropping 3 spots after, even though they won, 55-3 or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I thought they were overranked a little bit to be third. I thought Florida State, Oregon, Bama, however you want to rank them, should have been the top three for pretty much the last month. But, yeah, it is a tough, obviously, a pill to swallow for TCU. I thought they were on that 4 or 5 spot up until this past week against with Ohio State's major win. But they wanted to drop them from 5 to 6, ultimately, because of the head-to-head loss to Baylor. So they kind of saved some face, though not really if you ask the Big 12 faithful. But because TCU lost that game and on the road in Waco to Baylor, they moved them, TCU, from 3 to 6. They just showed, though, when they moved them up to 3, at the same point, I wasn't going to be surprised if they dropped him down to 4 or 5 if anybody showed up big time, and Ohio State did. So the committee can kind of do what they want, and they've certainly shown us that in the last couple of weeks. But they just want to put the 4 best teams in, and because of that Baylor head-to-head win, they wanted to give them the slight nod. But at the end of the day, they're both in premier New Year's 6 bowl games against the Egg Bowl participants nonetheless.
Gotcha. Hey, let me put you on the spot, Dan. We know the 4 teams that's in it. Who's going to win it?
Yeah, well, my preseason pick was Florida State over Georgia, who I had beaten Alabama in the SEC championship game. That did not come to fruition, as we know.
Right.
I think Alabama clearly is the pick to win the national championship right now. This is Nick Saban's easily one of his top 5 teams at Alabama. Some people want to say it has a chance to be talent-wise in terms of the NFL draft. Potentially could be up there in terms of overall talent. But I'm a slightly lean with Alabama. I can't really go against my Florida State pick, but I will say it will be Florida State and Alabama, despite Florida State being pretty solid favorites. I'm not counting against them. I don't think Oregon's seen anybody in the Pac-12 quite like Florida State. I think Florida State Alabama has the 2 best safeties in all of college football. That will be NFL freaks and Jalen Ramsey, who's only a sophomore, and Landon Collins, of course, going to be coming out and be a top 10 pick. So I think Alabama, Florida State, Alabama will be about a touchdown favorite. I'm leaning towards the Tide. I did pick Florida State in the preseason, so I'm just hoping they both get in there to make me look a little smart. I'm going to lean with Bama at the moment, though in my heart I'm kind of picking Florida State because I had them back in August.
Sure.
But it's going to be tough for them to repeat, obviously. But Bama, Florida State, I would book that.
I like your way of thinking, Dan.
Dan. Hey, Dan, one thing about it, if it does come down to Alabama and Florida State, I'm going to be forced to make a decision between my 2 most hated teams. And I've said all year I will pull for Bama, but as it's getting closer, I'm starting to have second thoughts. So. And plus, sitting across this table from Ronnie don't help things either.
I'm not as bad as some Alabama fans.
That's true. That is true.
I tried to tell him I pulled for him last year, Dan, when Florida State and Auburn was playing. He kind of looked at me like
his nose was growing when he was saying that, too. Hey, Dan, back to TCU and the Baylor. This whole thing has turned pretty ugly, and luckily for the committee, Ohio State did somewhat of a rescue. Do you think the Big 12 cost TCU or Baylor a playoff spot by naming them co-champions instead of coming out and naming maybe Baylor since they won the heads up?
Yeah, I mean, I would certainly say partially. I would not say completely, because I think that's the consensus for most people, is because of co-champions, that's why they didn't get in. No, they didn't get in because Ohio State's just a better team, in my opinion, than both Baylor and TCU, and they proved that in their final game, and in my opinion, they kind of proved that in the final month. They've had a few struggles, but Ohio State really, they need to win big, and they win bigger than any game in the history of college football in terms of conference championship games. No team's ever been shut out. I didn't think Wisconsin could get shut out, but they just got thumped. I watched that game, and there was no point in my mind where I said, my buddy's a Badger fan. He's like, you got any chance? And I'm like, no. No, you don't. That was after, like, the first quarter. Even in the first quarter, when it was halfway over. And just Joel Stave and then even Tanner McAvoy, their quarterback, looks to run a little bit. They could get nothing going because Ohio State's defensive line is just massive, and it's got a lot of great athletes, like I mentioned. So I think it's just Ohio State was better than Baylor TCU, in my opinion. I think TCU, they really couldn't have done anything more other than win all their games, and it's unfortunate to not have a conference championship game, which is obviously impartial. Credit to their discredit to the Big 12 for not having a conference championship game. They could have still pushed for one despite having 10 teams. They're going to try to add 2 more teams, but they could technically next year, if they want to this offseason, just add a conference championship game for the top 2 teams, the conference record-wise, which I think would certainly help their case. But obviously, Ohio State, just a better team, in my opinion. They proved it on the talent, on the field, outside of just being more talented. So I think it couldn't have been any worse of a wish, if you were, for Baylor or TCU or the Big 12, because Ohio State played arguably, you know, guys, maybe one of their best games in the last decade. So that was just a bad break, and credit to Ohio State for really putting a thump in on a Wisconsin team that we thought was at least the second or third best team in the entire Big Ten.
Right. Yeah, it was definitely ugly. Hey, for those of us who are not fortunate enough to have a team in the playoffs, such as my Auburn Tigers, outside of the playoff games, what are the top matchups you see in bowl games, some games maybe that you want to make sure you catch during the holidays?
Yeah, I'll exclude the college football playoff semis. But I think the New Year's 6 bowl games, I'm enjoying every single one. But the biggest one that I'm really going to be watching every snap is going to be between Ole Miss and TCU in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. That's a New Year's Eve game, 11:30 a.m. Central. So make sure you wake up in time for that one, because I think Ole Miss probably has two of the top five safeties in the country, and Pruitt and Tony Connor, both NFL caliber players. But going against, you know, TCU's stud receivers, Colby Lissenby is a receiver that's come out of nowhere. Josh Doxson, TCU's offense has been perennial top five offense all year, scoring-wise, moving the ball. Trevon Boykin was a receiver last year, played some quarterback. I thought TCU was going to win 10 games this year, but I thought Matt Jokel, former Texas A&M quarterback, was going to be the guy to lead the way. It just goes to show you how important it is to have a dual-threat quarterback. And Mr. Boykin, while he did not get an invite, certainly going to finish the top five when the Heisman gets released Saturday night. But I think Mr. Boykin and TCU against that Ole Miss defense, which is number one on the planet in scoring defense, is just a matchup that the scouts, the NFL scouts, will be drooling over, because that is a perennial matchup that I'm looking forward to, maybe more than any game outside of the Sugar and Rose Bowl. And then quickly, Baylor-Michigan State, obviously going to be a big game in the Cotton Bowl, just because we'll see how Baylor comes out of this game, how they go into this game, coming off pretty ticked about getting left out and getting snubbed by some, if you will. I think that's going to be a back-and-forth game. Baylor has had struggles in the past against Big Ten teams in the postseason and in regular season play. So I think this is a game where Michigan State can control the clock and have a chance to win this game. But I'm going to lean towards Baylor in that one. But I'm really looking forward to those two big bowl games. Obviously, Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, and the Orange Bowl. I think both Egg Bowl teams, while they're not all favored, Mississippi State is, of course, over Georgia Tech, I'm liking their chances of both winning in terms of the Rebels and Bulldogs. So the SEC, I believe, is favored on all but three games. The biggest topic is, can they win all their games? I think they can. I don't think they will, but I certainly think they're going to have a good chance to come out with at least 10 wins in the postseason, which would be pretty darn impressive.
Okay, good deal. Speaking of winners, Saturday night, a new Heisman Trophy winner will be named. Thank goodness, and we will be done with famous Jameis. Is there any remote chance, one in a million maybe, that we get surprised and get someone winning that award other than Marcus Mariota?
No, I think it will be not quite a landslide, but pretty much about as close as it gets to being a statement in terms of one versus two. I think it will be interesting to see how close two and three is between Amari Cooper, who should be third, and Melvin Gordon, who should get the slight edge for two. But Marcus Mariota, clear-cut winner. I don't think it will be, you know, the biggest disparity, but it might be up there in top five in the last 15, 20 years. It's just amazing. He's only had 12 interceptions for his career, and your guy Jameis Winston has 17 just this season. So I think Mariota hands down wins the Heisman, and it's going to be amazing that him and who more than likely wins the Heisman this year, Mariota, against Winston in the Rose Bowl, going to be quite the matchup. Where the last we've only seen it two times before this, where we've seen two Heisman winners go off against each other and playing. That was Sam Bradford, Tim Tebow, and of course Jason White, Matt Leinart. So that is going to be quite the matchup on New Year's Day in the Rose Bowl. And Mariota, clear-cut winner, and I think Boykin, while not invited, should crack the top five at least. And so he's going to be lifting that Heisman Trophy, the 80th overall. So I think Mariota for the Ducks is going to be quite the treat Saturday night. Of course, some awards tonight. But I think the Rose Bowl, you look at that matchup, it could be one of the more entertaining, intriguing Rose Bowls we may ever see, which I think is quite the statement because we've seen some great ones. But the two hits have two Heisman winners in less than a month, so I'm looking forward to that one. But Mariota and borderline landslide.
Okay. Hey, Dan, I've got a couple more questions I want to throw out at you. Mm-hmm. If you've got time to answer them, great. If you don't, just tell us you don't. One of my questions is, certainly we have a four-team playoff. I'd like for you to give me your opinion after this first year of having the four team. Is the four-team playoff what you like, or would you like to see it eight teams? You know, why you like it is, or why you want it, possibly moved to an eight team? And then my second question is, Will Muschamp is still out there. What are you hearing about, you know, where he may land, if you're hearing anything?
Yeah, I move quickly about Will Muschamp. The last we heard was the offer was on the table, or was discussed, of him potentially going to South Carolina. And obviously there's always been rumors of him being wanted by Auburn. I think it's up to him of what team he really wants to go to in terms of a defensive coordinator as SEC team. It's going to be up to him. I think Auburn, I think, needs him the most.
Right.
Look at their defense. But I think it's Auburn, slightly over South Carolina would be my lean. But I have a good chance he stays in the SEC.
Yes.
And then for the four-team or eight-team playoff, I think I'd prefer to keep it at the four-team right now, but certainly it looks inevitable or clear-cut that we're eventually going to get to eight. I just don't want to defeat the purpose of the regular season. I think college football is the best sport in the world, and that's because the regular season is easily the most entertaining, best regular season in the history of sports or current sports. The regular season means more than any other sport, and it's not even close. I mean, it's tough to get into a playoff with two losses, and it will be easy to get in the playoff with two losses, in my opinion, if you expand to eight teams. And the point is to get the best teams in. Michigan State cracked the top eight. I would be a little ticked if they made the playoff in an eight-team playoff, because I think a team like Ole Miss, despite losing 2-3 games, 9-3, worthy of an 18 playoff. And I don't think they're really, I don't want to see a three-loss team. It's going to be tough to get the eight best teams in because you're going to have 2- and 3-loss teams.
Right.
And it defeats the purpose of the regular season. I've always wanted the plus one, and with four teams, we kind of have that now with a plus one with Oregon, Florida State, and Bama, Ohio State. So I'm all for keeping the four-team playoff because I think more times than not, you're going to get those four best teams. I think we got it through 1 year. I think we got that. Certainly four is better than two, and this is like a plus one, which I've always kind of wanted. So I think I love what we have right now. I wouldn't be completely against an 18 playoff down the road. You never say no for anything in life, and you never know what future can hold. But right now I'm loving how we have the four teams, and we'll see how it goes from here out. But I'm looking forward to these two big matchups on New Year's Day.
Yeah, I know we were talking on Tuesday, and at one time you know, Jason had he was kind of liking the idea of, you know, the 18 playoff, you know, three conference champs and then, you know, three at-large bids. But he's changed his mind, and he likes the, you know, the 14 playoff as it is now. And I tend to agree with him. I was kind of like, you know, maybe the 18, but I think at the end of the day, Dan, they got the four best teams.
Yep, I completely agree, and this postseason should be quite the entertainment. So I'm looking forward to that, and these New Year's games for all of them should be very entertaining.
Hey, Dan, know you have got some things you got to take care of, and man, we appreciate you joining us and squeezing us in your busy day. And so I hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, bowl games start not this weekend, but the following. So thanks for having me on as always, guys, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Great. You too, guys.
All right, see you, bud.
All right, you've been listening to the Man of Knowledge.
That's it, Dan the
Basta.
Man.
So we're going to take a break, come back with Greg Smith, onlybestbets.com.
That's it.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live, Thursday edition. We'll be right back.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House. now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com. All right, Ronnie, 4:27.
That's it.
And days are getting shorter and shorter.
That's right. A bit earlier and earlier.
That's it. That's the way it is around the house. My old body starts shutting down after it sees about an hour or two of darkness.
Yeah.
All right. Dan says we have the right teams in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And I'm going to have to agree with him there.
That's right.
We'll see what Greg has to say. So, Greg, are you with us?
I am. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, welcome to the show, Greg.
Hey, Greg, how are you, bud?
I'm well. Thanks.
Good.
Hey, Greg, we just spoke with Dan Vosta, Campus Insider, and talking about the four team that were chosen by the committee. He thought they had the right teams. They nailed it. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think they're pretty much right on. You aren't going to be able to knock out a team that's gone undefeated. As much as I despise Forest Hills, you guys, a team that's undefeated in a powerhouse conference, if you want to call it that, the ACC, you got to have them in there. So at least they put them at I got them at three. So but, you know, it's. It was a blessing in disguise to see Ohio State win because it was a get out of jail card for the committee to not to fight over TCU and Baylor.
Yeah, you said
and
that.
It was kind of a no brainer at that point.
Yeah, the committee was rescued, in my opinion, by Ohio State. Just like you said, they had a nightmare on their hands if Ohio State had not rescued them.
Yeah, and I think what was going on with TCU and Baylor, and the reason why you saw that 3-6 as far as with TCU is that, you know, Baylor had not played, in their minds, the third best team in the Big 12, which was Kansas State. Kansas State was actually a pretty good, it is a decent team.
Right.
And so without them seeing them play that on their, I hate using these words now, body of work and resume and stuff, all that stuff they say now. But without them seeing them play that team and see how they would respond, if it was going to be a good loss, a good win, a bad win kind of a thing, I think they just really were content on just keeping TCU at three, sending a message to Florida State saying, slip up one time and you're out of here. And once that game was over, they had no problem with choosing the head-to-head battle, which obviously went to Baylor. But both teams, at the end of the day, are out of the race, and the Big 12 probably needs to go back to the drawing board and figure out if they're going to have a Big 12 championship. Because clearly, having a conference championship has a lot of pull with these committee people in deciding who's going to be in the playoffs. It just makes it easier for them.
Exactly. That was pretty obvious the way that it ended up. You know, the only thing it was in was conference champions, whereas the committee earlier, Greg said, you know, they wouldn't penalize somebody if they didn't have a conference champion, you know, but I think that came to be known as a non-truth.
Right. I completely agree. So I think that the committee got it right for the first time around. I just think that they are sending a message also, though, that, you know, you better be careful who you're scheduling for your non-conference. I mean, don't go getting these cakewalk of the Sisters of the Poor sort of teams. You better, if you're going to do another conference, you're going to start scheduling some teams that look good on your resume. And Auburn did it. Auburn went out and played Kansas State and beat them. So, and you saw how long Auburn was actually in the talk, at least in the top five, top six, for quite some time, even after losing a couple of games.
Right.
They were still hanging around because they went out and they did something nobody else was doing. So I think that really stands the point of saying that, hey, if you play these tough teams in non-conference, you're going to be rewarded, especially if you win.
That's right. You know, and Greg, that's exactly what Jason and I were talking about Tuesday afternoon when we were, you know, on the air was, some of these schools, you better beef up your non-conference schedule. Plus, you know, that last game of the year, you need to make sure you're playing somebody that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny how a lot of these teams, like Ohio State and whatnot, are cheering for these other schools to do well, because if they don't, it makes them look bad. I mean, Virginia Tech practically almost lost a chance for the Buckeyes to even get in the playoffs, just how well they, or how bad they played for the rest of the season. That's Virginia, the Hokies I'm talking about.
Exactly.
So it's interesting how that works.
Yeah, just like, you know, with Baylor's situation, their non-conference schedule ranked 128th out of 128 teams.
Yeah,
you think the committee didn't take that into consideration? Good grief!
And I realize that you can't control, like, Ohio State's a perfect example. You can't control how Virginia Tech's going to do throughout the season.
Sure.
On paper, though, before they schedule that a year or 2 years back, Virginia Tech is year in year out a pretty good team in the conference. So it was a good play at the beginning, of the whole entire scheduling. But
right.
as the season went on, it just wasn't as good. So it became a kind of Achilles heel, if you will, on their overall resume.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, talking about the four team playoffs and the four teams in it. Hey, I know it's still about a month away before the semifinal games played, but give me your thoughts on. I know Alabama and Ohio State. Alabama is somewhere between a 9 and a 10 point favorite. Do you think that's about right? Do you think it's going to stay, change? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, my numbers have them just around 8, some spots 8.5, depending on how I look at the personnel. But keep in mind that this number will change. These are just kind of hard numbers out there. As we get closer to New Year's, these lines will start changing. I'm not sure. I think you'll start seeing that number come down. I think you'll start seeing it come more closer to 7, 7.5. I don't think it'll get by the key number of 7, but I think it'll stay right around that number. So if you are anxious about, or you're excited about betting Ohio State, you would probably want to get in now. If you want to go Roll Tide, I'd wait till New Year's Eve after your last drink and go ahead and lay money down.
Oh, that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
I think that number's
going to
come down a little bit.
Oh. Well, hey, moving on to your favorite team of Oregon and Florida State. What do you think about that one? How do you think it's going to turn out? What do you think about the line there?
Well, I have no reason to believe that Florida State, I've been saying this for a long time, but Florida State just can't. There's just no way they're going to move on with this. I think that Oregon is going to manhandle these guys. But at the same time, Florida State has just found ways to win games. And
right.
As you guys know, and you can test this as far as Auburn goes, you know, there's a lot of close calls. And there's a lot of luck sometimes in getting into these national championships. And no team, including Alabama, Auburn, any of them, they all somewhere down the line of the regular season had a little bit of luck, something that went their way that gave them the W.
Sure.
And Florida State's a perfect example of this. I mean, there's just been a couple of, how they got out of that Miami game, I have no idea. Miami had one or two key fumbles that should never have happened, and how that ball stayed in bounds, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The point is that Florida State finds ways to win. So I can't just start saying everything I've been saying for the last 3 months, saying that Florida State's, you know, bound to lose, because I can't say that. But I will say this. On paper, as far as matching up X's and O's, Oregon is the better team, and they should cover the spread. But who knows?
Okay, which brings us to our next question, put you on the spot a little bit, Greg. Who do you see in the finals? If the game, let's say the semifinals were played this week, who do you see being the two teams that we see playing for all the marbles?
I think you'll see Alabama and Oregon, and Alabama will come in as 3.5 point favorites.
That sounds fair enough.
Would you put money on that for entertainment purposes only?
I always lean with better defenses. So I would definitely go with Alabama on it. I just think that you know, the defenses in the trenches is where the games are won. And Oregon has had issues, especially on the injury side of things, on that offensive line. And, you know, rule of thumb is, you can go back and look in the last 20 years, betting against Heisman Trophy winners, because he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And Cooper and Melvin, they're not going to win the Heisman Trophy. I mean, this kid's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And if you go back and you look in the last 15, 20 years of just going against Heisman Trophy winners, you're going to come out at about 63%.
Right.
So going against Heisman Trophy winners is always something that's always on my radar. Not necessarily something that solidifies it, but it is something that I keep in mind. Now, keep in mind now, this will be his second game, though, if he does get to the national championship after beating Florida State. So I'm not sure if that angle, if that situational model still applies with the national championship game, but it will definitely apply in this first game out of coming being a Heisman Trophy winner, which would be the Florida State-Oregon game.
Right, and certainly he deserves to win. I don't care that I'm a huge Alabama fan and Amari Cooper's, you know, in the final three. You know, Mariota certainly is head and shoulders above everybody else, you know, in deserving to win that award. I know on Tuesday, Jason and I just threw these stats out to him. He's passed, I think, if I remember, was 38 touchdowns and has rushed for 14.
Yeah, I've seen him play in action. I've seen him play, and he's unbelievable. I mean, he's fast. He's really fast. The Oregon team is really, really fast. I mean, so I it just goes to show you how well he plays out on the field and how he sees everything. I mean, if he doesn't see anything, he just takes off and runs, and he's fast. He's the fastest guy on the field by far. He will be against Florida State, and he probably will be against him and Cooper will be pretty close.
Uh-huh.
They'll be definitely the fastest guys in that field for sure.
Right. Well, so, hey, if I just throw this one out, talking about since we're out west and we're in Oregon, today, I was driving home and was listening to sports talk, and I heard where Barry Alvarez was going to be coaching Wisconsin in the bowl game against Auburn. I thought, what's the deal with that? And then I find out that Wisconsin coach has taken the Oregon State job. Have you heard anything? You know anything about that?
Yeah, I heard. The news that I saw was yesterday. Actually, was Gary Anderson who has taken a deal with that. You know, he kind of comes from the West Coast. He's he went to Rich College, was a Mormon college, and then in BYU, he was the defensive coordinator there with Utah, and actually beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl in 2008.
I've erased that from my memory.
So he's a defensive-minded coach, but, you know, it just goes to show you it's so hard to handicap sometimes these bowl games because now more than ever you see these coaches just jump ship before the bowl game even starts.
Right.
So you don't know what the kids are thinking, if they're motivated, if they're upset. You know, you can't really get in the minds of these kids and how they're gonna play. I've seen it go both ways. I've seen it where kids come out and are inspired and play really hard for their assistant coach, like Wisconsin can have. And I've also seen it where, you know what, they don't care.
Right.
They, if the coach is gonna let them up, let them down, they're gonna let everybody else down. So it's really hard. And so I kind of wish they wouldn't do this. I hope that they would just make these contracts up after the bowl games are over, but if you know anything about how the recruiting works in college football, they can't do that. They got to get them out there recruiting as soon as possible, and that's why you aren't going to see Anderson coaching the Badgers. Doesn't make sense, and it won't happen.
Right. Hey, something that kind of struck me funny, Greg, was the fact that Barry Alvarez, who used to be, as we know, but he used to be the head coach at Wisconsin, now he's the AD. Why would he come back to the sidelines? I mean, they got plenty of coaches. Is this something I wonder he's planning on getting back into coaching? I just thought it was kind of a slap at the rest of the coaching staff there.
Yeah, I think you said it well. I don't know either. I think it is a slap, and why it's happening the way it is, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's frustrating because, as you know, the job is to predict outcomes, and
right.
And when you throw things in like that, it screws up my prediction model. I get frustrated.
Exactly.
Because it's not working the way it's supposed to
exactly.
work. And so it's just tough.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg, tell me something on this committee deal. They've named the four teams, but not only did they name the four teams, they shuffled some teams around. TCU had been consistently ahead of Baylor, even though Baylor beat them in the heads up. The final poll comes out. Baylor jumps TCU. Mississippi State jumps from 10 to 7 and jumps Michigan State without either of them playing a game. So I'm kind of confused about that. And then I want your opinion on, do you think the Big 12 commissioner, by naming co-champions, maybe cost TCU or possibly Baylor a spot in the playoffs?
Well, to answer the latter of the questions, I do. I think that that the commissioner of the Big 12 needs to figure out how he's going to sneak in a championship game, because all the other conferences do it, and for him to say we don't do it just because is not going to be smart, because I think they're going to find themselves more times than not in these situations, just like this year, yeah, where the committee has to choose, and you can't let them. You got to give them a reason to choose you, and the championship games are great reasons to give them a reason to choose you. So, I'll tell you this: if Baylor lucked out a little too, because Baylor was able to play Kansas State, which is a pretty good team at the end of the season. You know, if Kansas State ended up being just a walk in the park, just like Iowa State was with TCU, you'd have a huge problem. Huge problem. So you got to have this. You got to have this marquee game, and I think the commissioner needs to reevaluate it. And I think I don't think he can do it this year in 2015 because it's too close. But 2016, I expect to see some changes. As far as how that whole jumping thing went, I kind of alluded to it a little bit before with TCU and Baylor being they'd not play the entire schedule out, and I think the committee just wanted to see how that all turned out. But I think more importantly, I think you're starting to see here that, you know, how computers just aren't, we're so used to seeing computers predict outcomes. But the computers aren't seeing how the teams are winning the games, the style of points, how well they play on the field, how they're stopping plays, how they're making plays happen. And I think it's the testament now of what we're going to see moving forward in the future. You're going to see teams like this, who like Mississippi State, who look good, look okay on paper, but look great out in the field. And when the human brain can go, okay, if I was a matchup Mississippi State right now with Michigan, who do I really feel has the best chance of winning? And in that particular case, you start to go, okay, well, what, you know, this is where my job comes in, right? You can say, well, Mississippi State would be a 4-point favorite. And right. You go, okay, well, they have similar records, you know, and obviously the SEC is a much tougher conference. Because the Big Ten, guys, Big Ten was not tough.
Right.
Big Ten was not that tough. I mean, you look at Wisconsin got beat by Northwestern and two other teams that nailed them. Iowa State actually, or Indiana actually, beat Missouri
yes,
this
it
year.
Did.
So I mean, now I'm going with the SEC stuff, but Indiana in the Big Ten versus SEC. So but it's just hard to predict these sort of things, but especially when you have the eyeball test that the committee is doing now. I think they're looking at it and going, okay, if I'm putting Michigan or Mississippi State on the field with, let's say, Michigan State, who do I think is going to win? And now you're starting to see that the eyeball test is really coming into factor. So I hope I explained that. I kind of jumped around a little bit, but that's what I think.
Absolutely. Hey, Greg, while we're out on the West Coast and we know that bowl season's out there now, and of course I know it's a good time away before we start planning bowl games, but what, if you've had a chance to look at it, what bowl games out on the West Coast are of any interest to you?
Well, I particularly like to look at teams that don't have much to play for. In other words, teams that were lined up to play well. I mean, take teams like Arizona State would probably be a good one, right? Because Arizona State was at one time was a talk of trying to get into the Pac-12 championship, and now it's like, okay, now we got to go and play who? Well, you got to go play Boise State.
Right.
So I mean the things like that to where I meant Duke. I didn't mean
okay.
Boise State. But you know, I mean, in Arizona State's mind, they need to go, well, Duke and ACC, you know, they're supposed to win the ACC championship, but they didn't, and blah, blah, blah. And those are good letdown spots. And a team like Duke is going to be ready to go because it's going to allow them to be an ACC team, a conference that does not get a lot of respect, to go out and beat a Pac-12 team that was really in the top 10 throughout pretty much the entire season. So I look for things of that nature. I also look at this, too. I look at senior quarterbacks playing in their last game. It means a lot to them. So, you know, you look at someone like Bo Wallace, you know, and from Mississippi. Look for efforts there. Look for efforts from the rebels that are going to be a little bit over and beyond what you're expecting.
I got you.
So, you know, you're going to play something like TCU, especially because Mississippi's playing TCU. TCU is going to feel like they just got screwed, right?
Right.
I mean,
sure.
You're in the top three, and all of a sudden you drop down to six.
Right.
And you know, so those are kind of games.
Yeah. Greg, with like a TCU being at three and dropping to six, does that make it more difficult in what you do is to say how these guys are going to come out and play? I mean, they're going to come out with an edge, or are they going to come out and not perform well because they're not in the playoff? I mean, how do you, how do you formulate that?
Well, I really hone in on teams that were playing for something big and end up not getting it. So right. You know, like Arizona's another good example, right? That's what I was trying to tell you, Boise State.
They were
playing for something big, and all of a sudden they got killed.
Right.
You know, so now they got to go play Boise State. Who? Boise State.
Yeah.
Boise State's a name because they've been a name in the last 10 years, but Boise State has not been that good these last couple of years in the Mountain West.
Right.
So then you go, that play who? So, you know, you look for these mid-conference schools, getting a chance to prove himself on national TV against big conference schools, I tend to look at those games and give it a lot more respect. I mean, right now, Arizona's only a three point favorite over Boise State. Well, that makes sense to me. If it makes sense, I wouldn't go against the odd makers.
Right. Okay. Great. Thanks for that.
Hey, Greg, a couple more things and we'll let you move on. I'm going to throw something in completely off subject. This is probably about as far off subject as you can get, but it's been on my mind, and then something Ronnie said brought it back to my attention. As far as your setup and the way you formulate games, and we were talking about computers earlier in the part they have played in the past, how much of your personal lines and your thoughts are computer generated, and how much do you do the old eyeball test and you yourself watching games?
I watch football games. I do not watch basketball games. I used to. Too nerve-wracking. You miss a free throw, it just takes you off. Football, I will watch just because I'm trying to get a sense of you know, how good the quarterback really is. Everyone says the quarterback's good. Let's see how good he is. You know, like, you know, Preston is a good example this year. He started off hot, then he kind of had some problems there. I don't know if he got hurt or what, but, so I do watch a little bit of the games. But to that being said, though, I don't like to watch a lot of games because then that messes with my head. I mean, teams are never as good or as bad as their last performance. And if you try to keep riding that gravy train of saying, oh, so-and-so whipped him by 55 points, I got news for you. You aren't going to get the same results the next week. And I can tell you that just from being an athlete all alone. I mean, when you play really bad one game, your practices that week are much more intense.
Oh,
and you're a lot more focused. And the coaches are more focused. Well, it's the same thing on the flip side, too. I mean, if you come off a real cupcake game and you kill them, you may not be as focused. You know, you're like, everyone loves you. The girlfriends, they're going to love you. Everyone thinks you're great on campus. And, you know, so I try not to get too involved in watching the games, per se. So a lot of my calculations when I do lines are situational plays, looking at, you know, how teams perform before and after, looking at different things such as, is it at home, is it a revenge game, those sort of things. And then I put in my matrix, which is the math model, and which goes into, you know, rushing D, rushing offense versus passing, you know, and it's kind of put it that way. So through all of that, I throw it into a kind of an Excel sheet program and whatnot that's kind of spits out the number according to my theories and whatnot that it should be. And, you know, so that's the idea. And the idea is that I create my own number, my own line, and if it deviates a lot from what Vegas says, well, then I got to play. Then I got to look at this game a lot closer.
Yeah. Okay, that answers that. Okay, let's talk just for a minute about the forgotten one, the Auburn Tigers. Which I thought they got a great invite for their situation going to the Outback Bowl. I was expecting the Music City Bowl. Ronnie and I had joked, made a lot of jokes about the Music City Bowl, but how do you see the Auburn-Wisconsin game playing out down in Tampa?
Well, like we discussed a little while ago, with Wisconsin losing their coach, it's real hard for me to gauge this because on paper, again, Auburn is a much better team, I believe. I think they play in a better conference, and they have better numbers to go off as far as how they did offensively and defensively. But typically, though, these schools, I'll tell you this. These, and I got to look this up. I might be surprised. Next time I come on with you guys next week, I'll try to find these numbers. But these big conferences really get up to play the SEC because they're sick and tired of listening to the media talk about, and rightly so, about how good the SEC is. So when they get a chance to play an SEC team, they really give them everything they got. It's like you're on a target on your back. So, that being said, you know, if you don't think the Big Ten is licking their chops right now to get a shot at the SEC, especially a team that played the national championship last year and a team that almost could have went to the national championship this year, you got another thing coming. So taking that into play, and then also taking the play that we have a new coach now that's not necessarily a new coach, but you know what I mean? He's a coach that is not going to be there, that has not been there on the sidelines in the past. It's a tough one. So, but if I'm going to look at this game, I'm starting to have a lot of respect for how Auburn's playing. I honestly don't know how I didn't cover that game against Alabama. Auburn showed they can move the ball against the Crimson Tide pretty well throughout that game, and in the last 7 minutes, just kind of spun out of control. Auburn, I think plays pretty good, solid football. I like their head coach. And I think their quarterback is probably one of the better ones in the country. I'll start with Marshall. So I'll go with Auburn on this probably as I sit right now. Yep. But here's the problem though, Jason. Right now I'm looking at it, and I got 18 or 20% of the public that's on Wisconsin, and I got the rest of the country that agrees with me. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and hopefully I don't get too much of a problem here, but I've always said the masses are asses. Anytime you're on that side of it, on the coin, you're in trouble. So,
I have to agree with you. One thing you might be a safe bet for you is that Gordon could break his rushing record against Auburn.
Oh, he will.
I know you're pretty bad on that defense. I've not heard anything about the defense of Gordon. You know, it sounds like he's going to hang in there for another
year.
They can't
talk anybody into taking it. So.
Hey, Greg, I got one more for you. I know you got to go. Preseason, I picked UCLA to be in the 14 playoff. Certainly they didn't make it. What's the talk on the West Coast about UCLA? Are people satisfied, you know, with Mora and that whole team, or what's up with that?
Yeah, I think they are, more or less. I think that Mora has actually done a pretty good job since he's been coming in there and winning some games. He hasn't done – now, keep in mind, UCLA played for the Pac-12 championship 2 years ago, wasn't it? 2 years ago? Actually last year? So he's proven that he can win. I like him as a coach. I think he's a good players coach. I don't see UCLA messing with that setup as of right now. I think that the Pac-12, other than Oregon State, with their new coach coming in, I think the Pac-12 is pretty set on the coaches they have. I think they have some pretty good ones. You know, you look at Arizona State with Rodriguez and Graham and crew, and you go over to Steve Sarkey and you go over to Mora and those players, or those coaches. I think you got a pretty good line of good coaches in the Pac-12. I don't see too many changes happening over the offseason at all. As a matter of fact, I think Oregon State's probably the only thing that's going to happen for the season.
All right. Greg, we kept you longer than what we meant to. I know you've got a million things you could be doing, so we really appreciate your time, and not only your time today, but each week you join us and give us a few tips to make a few dollars, maybe, you know, for entertainment purposes only. So, hey, have a great weekend, Greg, and again, hope it's a profitable one.
Okay, you guys take care. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, see you.
All right, bye-bye. Greg Smith. Hey,
that's another man who knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah, knows the game.
If you're playing for entertainment purposes only, you might want to listen to him.
That's it. All right, going to a break. We'll be right back, do a little free talk, I guess, talk a little Alabama football, and then later Rex Chambers joins us.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, Coleman.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or, if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday 7 to 5 and Saturday till noon. 734-0038. 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
All right, the break brings us in to the o'clock hour. Run in.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Hey, you know what that means.
Careful now.
and Coleman is a town now that it does matter if it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, so. This is true.
You know, I've kind of got used to that now going in stores to start
with.
Pay attention. It was like, knock your eyes out when you walked in a store and they were actually selling alcohol in the city of Coleman.
But
now I've kind of got used to it. Don't pay much attention to it. You know, the first couple of times I saw someone buying it, had it in their shopping cart at the pig.
You kind of turn your head, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of looked and thought, here in Coleman, you're buying that here in Coleman. Somebody's going to see you. So.
Yeah. That's right.
But now, you know, you don't think any more about it than a loaf of bread.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Hey, we've got about 30 minutes on the nose before Rex gives us a call, giving us our local fishing report. So, hey, if you've got anything sports-wise you want to talk about, whether it's Alabama, Auburn, some local sports that's going on, give us a call. 737-9951 is the number, and we'll talk about any subject you want to bring up sports-wise. So give us a call.
Call, and we'll give you a trivia question. I'm not going to give it out right now. It gives too much time for people to look it up.
So. I got you. Hey, speaking of that, is Moolah hidden yet?
No, I didn't
Moolah
get around
is not
to,
hidden.
To hiding Moolah.
Okay.
Moolah will be hidden for the Tuesday show.
And hopefully it'll be found that week.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. So.
Because Cindy's back looking for it again.
Cindy is camouflaged right now and has got her night vision goggles and is ready. Hey, Cindy, give us a call. We haven't heard from you in a while, so if you're listening, give us a call and let's talk about hiding Moolah.
Where she wants us to hide.
It don't make any difference where we hide it.
No, we won't make any difference at all. But, hopefully, if Cindy is listening, give us a call, Cindy. And I'm sure if Eddie's out there listening after what you did on Facebook.
I did get him today.
The Will Muschamp thing, you can, I'm sure he would have something he'd like to say. So 737-9951 is the number. That may be Cindy right there. I'm interested in Will Muschamp.
I know it's
football season's kind of in a little lull right now before the bowl games get started. You know, not a lot going on, but I'm just interested in where he ends up. I mean,
there is a lot of interest and a lot of money chasing him.
Oh,
so.
Isn't there though? But didn't you say the last thing you saw was he was in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, he was vacationing and probably thinking it over. And yeah. Man, I would like to have that to think over. So. All right, got a caller on says Sandy. Have we got Sandy or Cindy?
Cindy.
Okay.
Cindy.
That's what I was thinking after we asked you to call.
With the moolah hunter.
Yeah.
we were worried about you, Cindy. We hadn't heard from you.
Well, I've been waiting on Jason to go hide the moolah.
That's right.
I knew it was going to be today.
Well, see, that's what
let me
he
it was supposed to be. That was my bad, so...
He's getting to the age now, Cindy. You know, he's going to be 50 tomorrow, and it just slipped his mind. He's got so much going on right now.
Yeah, I know how that is. You know, businessman and all that, and turning 50. That's tough
right there.
Hey, Cindy, I could go ahead and give you a clue, but there would be nothing there. So,
well, give me something to think on.
Yeah, do you want to practice?
Yeah,
Cindy needs all the practice. So, hey, you haven't got that $10.99 Jason sent you yet, have you?
Now
how much is this gonna be, Jason?
Well, we're gonna throw $100 in there.
Oh, $100.
Yeah.
Man, Jason, you need to go ahead and put some clues out there.
Yeah. And I know, Cindy, you would be waiting on me when I got over there to hide it. If I give a clue, Cindy would be waiting, I would just walk over and hand it to her.
No, I don't need that now with my tracking device.
Hey,
Cindy, I was looking forward to it today, and then when you said you didn't hide it, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
He disappointed you.
Well, we've already give away one this week, so I figured if I hit it and give a clue, you would have it tonight.
We need to spread them out at least a week apart.
About a week.
Well, it's cold out there now, though.
Yeah, it is. Now, you'd have to want it pretty bad to get out now looking for it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I do. I enjoy going out looking for it.
Yeah.
Hey, Cindy, talk about football a minute. Your team has made it named in the four teams for the playoffs. Do you think they're going to beat Ohio State? And then what do you think after that?
I think they'll beat Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. So,
who
do you think they play? Who do you think they play in the championship?
Oh, that I don't know, Jason.
Florida State or Oregon? So,
oh, like I said earlier, I'd hate to see it be Florida State, but it may be.
Yeah, I think that would be the most interesting game, the most fun game.
Yeah. I just hope they're playing in the championship game. So whoever comes.
Yeah, it gives us a lot more to talk about.
That's exactly right. So.
But, I mean, regardless if it's Alabama or Auburn, which, I mean, you know, I'm an Alabama fan, but I like to see us keep it in the state.
I agree.
And if it was Auburn, you know, I would be pulling for Auburn.
There you go.
And Ronnie will sit here and
say
that,
thing.
And then he'll go home and put on his Oregon stuff when Auburn's playing. So.
Hey, Cindy, Jason said he would wear an Alabama hat. If they made it to the championship game.
And play Florida State.
Oh, was that the second part of it?
Yeah.
If that happens, I think he needs to wear the shirt he wore at Grumpy's.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that was a beautiful sight, wasn't it, Cindy?
Yeah, he was looking good. He was
tall. I'm telling you.
Not many 50-year-olds look like that, do they?
You said that right.
Hey, you take that however you want to.
They don't dress like that.
Yeah, you're right, Cindy. They don't dress that way.
You know, I could very well have that picture spread out on Facebook and the internet.
Yeah.
And
I think you need a big 8x10 or 11x14 hanging on the wall.
No,
we would do Twitter, Facebook,
and if any rumors get started on that, I promise you that I will involve Ronnie Barnes.
Oh, you're gonna hold him to it,
Yeah.
Oh me.
Okay, well, Jason, I do hope you have a happy birthday tomorrow, and believe me, 50's not that bad.
Hey, I appreciate it. I guess I'll make it. Probably won't feel any different than I do today. So.
No. Okay, guys.
Okay, Cindy.
Get up there and hide that money.
Thanks, Cindy.
All right, we'll see you.
Good luck, Cindy. See you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
And we had Greg on here a little bit ago, you know, with only best bets. What would you say the bet would be that Cindy's going to find that money?
If I was Vegas sitting in line
They can't do points, you just got to do percentage.
Yeah, I would say she's at,
90 plus?
Yeah, at 85 to 90%. The only way I see her not finding it is if she comes down sick, breaks an ankle or something. Yeah, something.
Hospitalized.
Yeah, she would have to be hospitalized.
Yeah, it wouldn't be just she's sick. She'd have to be in the hospital, probably in ICU.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Ronnie, understand, we talked about the other night Cold Springs and West Point playing a good game.
Yeah, I saw the results of that. Ended up very, very close. Matter of fact, I think it was about a two-point game, wasn't it?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I know it was less than five. Cold Springs did win the game at West Point, but it was very, very close. And, you know, we'd said earlier that West Point's got a pretty solid club.
Right.
So that just stands to reason there that they played Cold Springs very close. So, you know, West Point's pretty solid. Randy Jones does a good job out there with them. And then, of course, the girls' game had John Welborn coaching West Point's girls against his sister, Tammy West.
Don't you know that's an interesting Christmas get-together?
Yeah, for sure.
The county tournament coming on.
I know. So
one thing interesting, talk to some people who was at that game, is the number of college scouts following Cold Springs.
Is that really?
I think there was three or four at the West Point game. I think UAB was represented. Samford was represented. And a college that sounded like they were from Timbuktu. I had heard of them. But, I mean, I don't know. They could be right next door to us. But just by their name, it sounded like it was a long way away. Hmm. So, do you ever have anything like that? It makes no sense. But you hear a name of a place, and just by the name, you think that's got to be a long way.
Yeah. So. Do you remember the name of the school?
No, I don't.
It's so far away.
Yeah, it's so far away. Yeah.
Yeah. But so Samford.
Samford, UAB, and
well, you know, Mitch Morris, Mitch's brother, is the head coach at Samford.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the head boys coach.
I did not know
at
that.
Samford. Used to be the girls. He was the girls' coach or the ladies' coach, I guess they say in college. And he is the boys' coach at Samford University, head coach. Probably has been, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 years, something like that. He's at Samford. Yeah, here's the problem, Jason, we talked about with UAB, with them dropping their football program. How difficult is it going to be to recruit to the other sports? Because currently they're in Conference USA. Conference USA, as you know, requires you to have football. So what's that going to do to their basketball team, and what's it going to do to potentially kids that they're trying to recruit? I don't have an answer to that. I'm just saying that's going to be a problem.
But my thoughts is, I'm just thinking, if I'm a teenage boy that is going to play college basketball, if I've got UAB and another college of similar status, I'm going to the other college. I mean, because like you said, it's uncertain what their future is.
Right. Their head coach is certainly going to be uncertain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And another thing, the UAB campus is not going to attract any players. Their facilities, Bartow Arena, a nice place. But other than that, nothing's going to attract anybody. So I'm going somewhere else now.
Yeah.
They'll get players, but what caliber players, I don't know. So.
And, and he's done a good job there since he's been at UAB. I think, matter of fact, they beat North Carolina. Was it last year they beat North Carolina, UAB?
I'm not sure.
I think they may have last year. Tyler would know. But for some reason, I was thinking they had beaten North Carolina. But, through the years, they've had good basketball, especially, when Gene Bartow was there, had some really good teams. But it's just the uncertainty of what's going to happen with the entire athletic program right now.
How big a part do you feel that, and I know this is just a guess, but how big a part do you think that Bear Bryant Jr. played in closing down UAB football?
Well, it seems to be every time you bring it up and they start talking about, trustees and that kind of stuff, that his name is mentioned.
He's
mentioned in it. I don't know directly, how much a part he played in it, but you just hear his name.
Yeah.
Bear
made the statement that they would never play another team from the state of Alabama. They, in fact, would not play Auburn if it wasn't for the legislature passing the deal that they had to play.
Yeah.
And so I think he's got a big hand in that. Why the mad at, the mad on at UAB, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Boy, has the UAB president not been getting hammered?
Yeah, and he should.
of the way it was handled, and, and talking about, you know, they didn't have money, and some of the huge donors there said we were never asked, you know, anything about money. So, boy,
he's... And UAB suffered and did not get invited to a bowl game, which they would have been invited to, but who in their right mind is going to invite UAB to a bowl game, and they're not going to have a team? I mean, they'll bring three fans.
Yeah. So. Well, you know how bad it is. They have a Birmingham bowl, and they didn't invite UAB to play in it. Of course, I think, you know, most of those bowls are set up, you know, we play a team from A conference is going to play B conference, you know. I mean, it's kind of set up in conferences how they're going to play, I believe, but... speaking of, and I know we talked about bowl games, Jason, a little bit, but a bowl game that if I were here, and you and I both said, I would go see, and that is the Birmingham Bowl. I think that's January the 3rd, like at 11 o'clock, and that's Florida against East Carolina. If I was here, I'd go watch that. So
if you were here, I'd let you buy tickets, and I'd go with you.
I know, and I'd buy them, too. But, hey, if anybody out there is wanting to, you know, try to go to a bowl game and it be... You know, a local not too far away. Well, the closest one certainly to us is Birmingham. So, but I think that would be a heck of a good game to go see. It's Florida and East Carolina.
Yeah, it will be interesting. And I'm not sure that I'll venture out, but.
Now, getting your age, you can't stay out.
That's it. Once you get 50, you can't go to.
You can't stand the cold.
Stuff like that.
That's right. Hey, Jason, let me real quickly. We got just a few basketball games that are going on, I believe, tonight. We got Addison at Winston County, which, you know, neither one of those certainly are in Coleman County. But we have Lawrence County at Coleman. We have Hanceville at Fairview. That could be a pretty good game. And West End at Vinemont. So those are the games we got going on as we speak now. So local games. No college
hoop games. I caught part of that. Is Cold Springs playing tonight?
No.
I'm trying to make contact as we speak, try to get a Cold Springs report from
Bruce
Parker. So
yeah, those are the games that at least we see that are on tap, you know, tonight. No college games, no college hoop games.
Yeah, I looked that up a while ago. College games, you will be a lot better off watching a rerun of Duck Dynasty. So.
And there's plenty of those you can watch.
Yeah,
they're out there. Also, a couple things. You know, I know we got to go to a break here in just a minute, but. If you're interested in watching any NBA, Cleveland is at Oklahoma City. If you like NBA, that would be a pretty interesting game to watch, even though Kevin Durant is out. You know, he's hurt. Houston at Sacramento, and then we have an NFL game. Arizona is at St. Louis, but that probably won't be very good.
Hey, Ronnie, the NBA, speaking of that, once again proves they are out of control. Have you read the latest Kobe Bryant and the Lakers? You know, not the best year for the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, they're bad.
Kobe seems to be falling apart. Of course, he's old like I am. Mm-hmm. Not as old, uh-huh. but...
For an NBA player, he's getting up there for sure.
He has been yelling at the general manager and calling the teammates names and calling them soft.
Kobe, I think he was all from just people talking. He was very hard to play with.
Oh yeah, I can
picture see that.
And you know, Kobe, look in the mirror.
Kobe, he's seen it. His better days are behind him.
And he has a ton of points, but he holds the NBA record.
He shoots a ton of shots too.
Shots taken.
Yeah, exactly. He'll throw them up.
All right, we'll be right back, talk a little more ball, and hopefully Rex will join us about 5:30 and see if the fish are froze.
That's right. So,
we'll be right back with you, Sports Talk Live, Coleman, Alabama.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM-LP, Coleman.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com. All right, running back with it again. Something I was asking you just as we went on the air, have you been able to see or kept up with the Cam Newton injury and accident?
No, all I knew is, you know, it's what I'd seen on, or what we talked a little bit about on Tuesday, that he'd had a wreck, had a couple of fractures, I think the same type of injury that Tony Romo had, so it shouldn't put him out of action. Matter of fact, I think they may have decided now whether he can play.
Whether
he can play Sunday or not.
I'm going to bet Cam does not play Sunday, even though it's the same injury.
Yeah.
I just think maybe Cam don't have it in him. I don't know. I'm wondering about Cam. I've got question marks about Cam and the, you know, his.
You think he's throwing in? You think he's throwing in?
Yeah,
the,
pretty much. I think he has. So.
Yeah. Well, he's been. I mean, he's been absolutely beat to death. So.
But he has. He actually says he's lucky to be alive. The truck flipped multiple times, and he put out a very good post last night on Facebook, kind of thanking the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe he's made some things right that wasn't right before that wreck.
Maybe so.
All right, the board says Eddie acting weird. So Eddie. Has been saying the phone is acting weird. It says, you know, the phone is acting weird, but your name got slid in there. And since it was you, I thought I'd say it.
So. That wouldn't be the first time, I promise.
That wouldn't be the worst thing that's been said about you either, would it?
Not even today.
What's going on, big boy?
I was listed, you know, I had to turn you guys off for a few minutes because, you know, Saban was on TV and you have to shut everything off.
Oh, sure.
Saban speech.
Sure.
I had to, actually they had the press conference with all the coaches. They got up there and did their
normal
coach speak and love fest between
them. Yeah, yeah.
So it was just typical. But,
yeah.
When you guys were talking about the UAB situation, I was, Saturday when I was at Jacksonville, there was a pretty powerful, legendary sports broadcaster in the Birmingham market for years. Maybe you guys can put two and two
together
and say his name.
Yeah.
He was actually in the skybox with us, and, you know, he told me that some pretty big things were going to be coming out pretty soon, and he didn't really come out and say this, but it was alluded to that Bryant Jr. is going to be retiring at 70, and it was his last hurrah before he has to leave the Board of Trustees to get out of there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could take that for what it's
worth. For what it's worth, exactly.
But, you know, that he's ever since Bartow turned on Bear and sent a letter and accused his coaches of all that stuff,
right?
I don't think Jr. ever got past it.
Right. And this, and before he goes out, he has, you know, has a last say possibly.
Yep. And he's got, I think they'll probably have to leave at age 70. And so that was, I think this is kind of his last hurrah.
Right.
To build the program.
For Alabama, good riddance.
I mean, yeah.
it's just, I hate it. You know, I hate, of course, hating to see the smaller programs go away, and Birmingham needs it. But I guess my only problem is with it, a lot of those people are down there marching and doing all this other crap. Probably ain't even never been to a football game.
Right.
Me crazy. You know, yeah. When my girls got back in JSU, I got back involved, you know. And
right.
I turned down the SEC championship game to go to a JSU playoff game, and sometimes you just have to support your school.
Exactly. Absolutely.
They're not doing it.
Right.
They're not doing it. So when Jason's busting me up on Facebook, I don't have a clue what he's talking about.
Hey, yeah. Tell us about that, Eddie. How did that work out for you?
It worked out well. I was on the win. I just sit there. I can remember this time last year, Jason. I was so sick of ESPN because all I'm seeing is Auburn on, you know, playing for this. Yeah. But how do you feel this year?
No, I'm not watching much of ESPN.
That's kind of what I just turned it off.
He's been so busy at work, he hadn't had time to turn it on.
Yeah, after the game, I would not turn on Feinbaum anymore. I was just over it. I didn't turn on Feinbaum, I think, until Auburn lost. Hey, Ronnie, I got a question.
Yeah, ma'am.
Last seven games, what is Gus Malzahn's record?
Say that again.
Last seven football games, what is Gus Malzahn's record?
Last seven? Well, I'm going to go out of limb. I'm going to say about 2-5.
3-4. You were close.
I was close.
So you run on it.
Yeah.
We got trouble down there. I noticed that.
Yeah. Now, wasn't the talk at one time that if Auburn beat Alabama, that the era for Nick Saban was over?
That's what I heard. But, you know, thank goodness Sanford was in there for that 31-7 beat.
That's right.
So, you know, that kind of helped out.
But now, Eddie, you know, being completely honest, if Auburn had have beaten Alabama this year,
I think there
would be problems.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be some recruiting problems if they do get Muschamp. I think that's going to help out their program as far as recruiting better players on the defensive side of the football.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with, you know, with the thing that if Gus had beaten Alabama this year, that, you know, Saban, maybe his run was over, whatever. I don't know if I go that far or not, but boy, you know, the difference, if there is any, it would have narrowed greatly.
Well, if Auburn would have knocked Alabama out of a national championship game 2 years in a row,
that's right,
it would have been devastating to Saban's legacy.
I agree. Whether you're an Alabama fan or not, you got to. I mean, you have to be honest.
You got to be honest too. You know, it's not just beating him 2 years ago, knocking him out of a national championship opportunity 2 years ago. I'm not saying he knocked him out of the game this year, but he still has an opportunity to be in there.
Absolutely,
got one more.
Absolutely. Hey, talking about Auburn and. You know, it's just real, real quiet with Muschamp right now. Do you think he's going to end up at Auburn? I think he would end up at South Carolina before Auburn.
Well, I think it makes more sense, but you just never know. If Auburn throws him $2 million a year, you never know.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that coaching waiting, I just don't know if Will would want to go somewhere, but, you know, for a couple of years.
Well, didn't he try that at Texas? Wasn't that supposed to be the thing?
He did. It didn't work. But, you know, Spurrier's ready to quit. I don't think Matt was ready to quit. Spurrier is ready to one day let it go. Kind of like with Jimbo and Bobby. They had to force out Bobby when Jimbo was down there pretty much.
Exactly.
You know? Hey, Eddie, as big an Auburn fan as I am, I don't want to see Auburn pay him $2 million a year. If it takes $2 million a year to get Muschamp, let him go to South Carolina or...
He's not going to stay at Auburn anyway.
Yeah, I mean, don't pay him that kind of money.
Have you guys looked at some of the coordinator salaries, though? I looked at it just yesterday. You know, a lot of these guys, I can't remember who the two guys at LSU were up close to $1.5 million.
Yeah, the defensive coordinator, he make, isn't it 1.5, and Kirby Smart's 1.53 or something like that?
I think Kirby may be second. I can't remember.
Okay.
Kiffin, they got him for $680. That was a deal.
Well, they got him for nothing.
I imagine that'll go up.
Yeah, would you not? I would think so.
But, I mean, these coordinators, that's the reason, Jason, I think, for somebody as powerful as Muschamp, it's going to take close to $2 million to get him.
Now, then I say move on down the road, Jack.
do you really mean that?
Yes, I really mean that. I think you have to have a point that you say, no, you know, he's good, but...
We just can't.
We can hire several for $2 million.
Well, you can. Of course, you know, how much money are they paying out every month, too, to former coaches?
It's about return on investment. That's what's killing Auburn.
That's right.
They're paying out.
Yeah.
You know, we're saving at 7.1, the best investment the university ever made from return on investment standpoint.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know, Jason, if they were turning on that program and get you in the big games and playoffs, it's, you know, it's worth what's another $500,000 if you're in the college football playoffs.
Right.
Even though you're getting that same split, I guess Alabama's getting this year regardless, so it doesn't really matter.
Right. Yep.
But for, you know, just jersey sales and everything else, that's on top of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Auburn's got to do something, but, you know, I'm just not sure $2 million is the right route to go, and I would love to have him.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of like Kiffin. He was desperate. Nobody wanted him. Muschamp even turned him down.
Right.
Well, that's a lot of job. You
yeah.
know, Muschamp should have hired him. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's, you know, Kiffin may be here for 2 years and gone, and I guess that's kind of the way. What was Coach Mack, Ronnie Ford?
Yes.
You know, he parlayed that
yeah.
pretty good one. So.
I hope yeah, Kiffin stays at Alabama for a long time because I still say.
You want to be head coach, don't you?
Yeah, I still say before he leaves,
that ain't gonna
he
happen.
Will leave something in shambles. He's done
yeah,
every stop.
He has.
Been
he left Auburn in shambles.
Well, I guarantee you he got rid of him out because he announced Amari Cooper was going pro before Cooper announced.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Oh, you shouldn't have said that.
I know. Before. That's true.
You shouldn't have said that one all. But speaking of the NBA guys, you know, Boss is bringing me down next week. His yacht, he bought him a new yacht, so he can't do that one. So he's putting us on the floor for the Heat and the Celtics.
Oh, are you serious?
That's nice of him because he asked me if I wanted to go to the game. There was two down there when I'm down. I go,
wow.
Celtics for Sunday night. He goes, well, okay, we got you floor.
So. Oh, man, Ed, that's great. Hey, take some pictures now.
So, yeah, I'll definitely do that, Ronnie. That's for sure. You know, the Celtics were always kind of my favorite team growing
up. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll enjoy. I have to silently pull for the Celtics
sure.
over the Heat.
Sure. Man, what a treat, Eddie.
Hey, Eddie, yeah. those NBA games, it don't matter. We went to Memphis.
Hey, we're going.
Years
we're
ago.
Going next Friday.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? I watched the Lakers play, and Tyler wore a Lakers jersey. And I'm thinking all the way up there. I thought, man, we're going to get run out of this place. We
nah.
get to Memphis, and there is more Lakers fans than there was Memphis fans.
Jason, I get that, but what I'm saying is my boss is a Heat fan.
Oh yeah, then you might want to revisit that.
I get the silently pull.
Oh man.
For the Celtics now. I did, fortunately enough, one time get the second row at the Lakers game, but I was right behind Jack.
Wow.
And so those were, like, real cool seats.
Wow.
So that was pretty good.
Well, I feel honored just to get to talk to you on the phone, Eddie.
You know, there's a lot of fun in shampoo when it's on the
table. Hey, do y'all need any help, Eddie?
NBA games being a shampoo guy.
Yeah, hey, I'll carry the boxes for you.
There you go.
I'll set the stuff up.
There you
oh,
go. So it's good. But, yeah, I heard you guys talking about the UAB thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to chime in, but I do think Jason was right. I think a lot of us going right to junior, even though the Bama fan, we won't admit it. I don't understand why they think UAB's a threat to the university.
And that's
like
right.
Like I've said so many times, and I heard you guys just talking about, you know, Witt wouldn't play him, and Bryant said he'd never play him, and how much that means to the smaller programs in
right.
the state, you know, and I heard you guys talking after I got off the other day about, you know, the Big 12 thing, and it does. It makes such a big difference to GSU and these teams when they play them, and it's just going to hurt them long term with what's happening right now when they're talking about the strength of schedule at Baylor and, you know, Baylor trying to do some things for the in-state universities.
Yeah.
So that's the tough call for me, of course.
You got it.
So that's it. Well, guys, I appreciate it. Good talking to you.
You too, Eddie.
Go talk some. It's cold down in the lake, so I'm sure
that's
you guys
right.
going to get
cold. Hey, thanks, Eddie.
See you, Eddie, bud.
Talk to you guys.
All right.
All right.
Man with all the hookups.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He lives a tough life, bless his heart.
That's it.
Hey, it's 5:30, looking for Rex Chambers to call in. Melissa, I don't know if you want to go to a break or there's Rex now.
I think there's Rex right
wait.
Now. He is right on the spot.
Johnny on the spot.
That's it, son.
But I do, Ronnie, I feel like that if Auburn has to pay $2 million.
To anybody.
Yeah. And an assistant, no. If you're the man that's heads on the chopping block and having to answer to the AD,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're getting.
There's a lot of head coaches, you know, in Division One that don't make $2 million.
Right.
So,
and so
seems like a stiff price to pay.
Yeah, and especially as you said, probably be there a couple of years and
gone.
He'll take a head coaching job.
That's it.
All right, it's time for Mr. Smith Lake, Rex Chambers. Hey, Rex.
Good evening.
Hey, Rex, how are you, man?
Stuck in traffic.
Don't tell me you're on the lake today.
No, I'm wrecked on 278 or something. It's got traffic coming into town from the water plant.
I got you. Hey, did you go today or yesterday?
I
I went yesterday and
a little windy.
First off, I'll give him $4 million if he comes
off.
Hey, all right. Any up then, you know, if somebody will pay it, we'll take it.
The man has never had a defense less than number five.
That's true. Hey, y'all be like the Santa Claus with the Salvation Army standing out, ringing a bell, taking up donations to get Muschamp.
I give all the pennies in my console for it, right?
Hey, Rex, we'll be the only school in the nation paying our coordinator more than our head coach. So.
Hey, you know he's only going to be there 2 years anyway.
That's exactly right, Rex.
You might as well get some recruits in and might as well get some good defense going.
Well, they certainly there's a need for that.
Goodness knows there ain't had none last
year. That's it. Hey, Rex, did you say you went yesterday?
I was on Smith yesterday. Water's muddy from last weekend's rain.
Yeah.
But it's still biting a little bit. You got to cut it downside and go a little bit of finesse fishing, but they're still biting.
Still, are they deeper or still bite like they were?
Yeah, they're deeper. I found some good fish last week that were out in really deep water, but those are gone because the water's gotten muddy.
Right.
But yeah, their fish were, anywhere from 18 to 25 feet yesterday.
Right.
I'll be there. I took some vacation this week. I had to burn, so I'll be there all day tomorrow, too.
Uh-huh. Living a good life, son.
Yeah, when it's cold, I got to burn vacation.
I know. And there's not much pressure out there right now, either, is there?
Actually, I did see but one other boat yesterday. I like it when it's cold. Keeps everybody off my lake.
Absolutely. Hey, Rex, talking about, you know, cold and definitely talking about, you said the water was muddy. Can you explain to some of us who may not know if we're fishing a muddy lake, kind of the colors we need to use, and if it's clear what we need to fish and why?
Well, when it's muddy, you go dark. It's just because the darker colors puts out a bigger profile.
Okay.
And red. Now, people talk about.
Watch out, Rex.
I had to hop this guy down full across with four lanes of traffic, and he about got T-boned.
Oh, my goodness.
But that scared me to death. Everybody goes red when it's muddy.
Uh-huh.
Now, why? Who knows?
Right.
It does work. Red works in muddy water, and people talk about, well, fish can't see red. When they talk about using red line, a lot of people use red line because they say, well, I can't see them.
Uh-huh.
You ever took a red laser pointer and pointed it in your aquarium? Tell me they can't see. They catch it like crazy. You know, so there goes that argument out the window.
Right.
So, but for some reason or other, in muddy water, the fish like a red crankbait or uh-huh. red rattlebait or red spinnerbait. They do like red in muddy water for some reason.
Right.
So all you got to do is like to go to black and blues, go to red, and that's your muddy water colors right there.
I got you. Hey, Rex, let me ask you another. This is about line. Depending on what bait you're fishing, do you, like if it's crankbait, do you need to fish a fluorocarbon or monofilament or braid? Can you take us through those lines and tell us what we might need to fish on each particular line? Because they all react different to the water, correct?
One thing you don't do, you don't throw braid in super clear water. Other than that, there's no big difference as far as catching fish.
Okay.
Now, your usages are different. If you're throwing a swim bait that you're wanting to go 30 feet deep, now you want to fish it on fluorocarbon. Why? Because fluorocarbon sinks a lot faster than monofilament does.
Okay. Okay.
If you're throwing a top water bait, you never want to throw top water on a fluorocarbon line because it sinks.
Because it sinks. Gotcha.
So if you're walking, not a buzz bait or something like that where you've always got tension on a line, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you're throwing like a walk the dog bait, like a Lucky Kraut, Sammy, or a Zarespoo, you want to have it on mono or braid. Braid floats too because it stays on top of the water column a whole lot better.
Right.
But braid, anytime you're in the grass, anytime you're flipping dirty water, yeah, you want to put that braid on. And anytime there's any kind of stain in the water, don't be afraid of braid because the stronger the better, in my opinion.
Okay. So if you, and this is going to be a silly question, if you could only pick one line to fish, if you're a new fisherman out there and you're confused, what do you pick?
20-pound fluoro.
Just a generic.
Yep, 20-pound fluorocarbon. You know, Berkeley makes a, what they call 100% fluorocarbon.
Uh-huh.
There's some more expensive lines out there, but that's kind of middle of the pack.
Hey, that line isn't cheap either.
Oh, buddy, when you're paying $20 for, you know, 300 yards.
Exactly.
And that's what Berkeley 100% costs. You pay $19 for 300 yards of line.
Wow. You can't stand to backlash that many times, can you?
No, and you fish as much as I did too. You go through a lot. I got a little bit of OCD about my line.
Uh-huh.
And so I go through a whole lot of line.
Right.
And it is aggravating, and it is expensive. But, you know, like I said, you can go cheaper. You can buy some thousand yard spools that you can buy for, you know, $30 if you want to.
Right. You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. You really, really do.
Absolutely. Hey, Rich, got a question. It has been the last few days, and it really for a good while, it's been rather windy on the lakes. If that is the case, and you're out on the lake fishing, what does the wind change about a lake, or where do you need to try to fish if there is wind on the lake?
Well, you ask any of the old timers and all of your biologists, they'll tell you there's one rule to go by, and that the wind is your friend.
Wind is your friend.
Unless it's 20 mile an hour, and get the heck out of the wind. or cold. I mean, it's.
Right.
I love the wind. I just hate it when I'm trying to fish open water. Trying to stay on a grass line or something to that. Something along that line.
Right.
Wind's aggravating. But what the wind does, everybody says, oh, the wind pushes the bait fish, you know, up the bank. No, it don't. The wind pushes the plankton.
Right.
To the bank. And therefore, the fish follow the plankton, the bait follow the plankton, and then the bass follow the bait.
Right.
Windblown banks, any kind of wind blowing, windblown banks, good. And right now, it's time for a jerk bait. So anytime that wind's blowing right now, find you a good windblown blown bank. Good jerk bait, Lucky Craft.
What color?
Actually, right now, there's.
Or does it matter?
No, it does matter sometimes. It matters where you're at. If I'm on Smith, I'm going to throw something that looks like a blueback herring.
Right.
Or a gizzard shad. But Lucky Craft's got a color out now called Root Beer Brown. And people think that like a blueback herring.
Uh huh.
There's no better than a blueback herring. If the sun hits it just right,
uh-huh.
There's one little thing of blue, but they're really a brownish green back on those. So there's a color called Root Beer Brown that I'm really high on right now.
Uh-huh.
It works really good. And I've been waiting for some really good cold, windy days to really give that new color a good try.
A good try.
Jerkbait.
If somebody is wanting to try to fish a jerkbait, they never have really fished it much, give us, you know, just briefly what we need to do to be able to fish that effectively.
10 to 12 pound test. 12's too big, but it worked.
Uh-huh.
Light line, a good, really good quality. Let me tell you, the rod is what makes the jerkbait.
Okay.
Most all jerkbaits are dime a dozen. But if you've got to, and they wear you out. It's hard to pick up a jerkbait and fish it all day long.
Right, right.
You got the right rod. Go short. Go to like a 6'3", a 6'6", at the most rod. I use a 6'3" Dobbins, which is unheard of. Anybody going with a 6'3" rod anymore.
Right.
But it works great for throwing a jerkbait. It don't wear you out, and it's just a good, find your own cadence. Switch up the cadence on the jerkbait.
Uh-huh.
Until you get bit, and then remember what that cadence was, and sometimes that's hard to remember.
For sure.
But yeah, just a good, good fluorocarbon line, a good short rod for jerkbait, 10, 12 pound test, and a good Lucky Craft jerkbait, hard to beat.
Gotcha. And that'll work, you know, that's going to be effective whether you're at Smith, whether you're on Gunnersville or Katoma or wherever else.
It don't matter where you're at, just a good windblown bank or windblown point, and you are good to go with a jerkbait. Especially this time, once that water gets below 50 degrees,
when
that jerkbait bite really picks up, and right now it's that time. Water temp's about 48, so it's time to go.
Right. Now, at what point in time, Rex, when the water gets a certain temperature, these fish, they just kind of shut off, they suspend, and they become, you know, it gets very difficult to catch, you know, maybe not difficult to catch some fish, you're not going to catch huge numbers.
Well, like I said, once the water really gets cold is when it gets tough. But they don't ever turn off. They got to eat. They just slow down, and they get lethargic. They try to conserve as much energy as possible.
Right.
And it's getting close to that time. I mean, like I said, once that water 45 and below, boy, it's when they really start getting lethargic. So
right.
It's getting close. Like I said, water temp was 48 the other day. Might have warmed up a little bit with the sun today, but zero sun yesterday, yes. And a little muddy water, and water just not
going to
warm up too much here on out.
Great. Hey, Rex, one more thing I'll let you go with. Any tournaments at all that somebody might could get into here in the next, you know, couple of weeks or so, or is there nothing going on?
Saturday from the dam, Smith Lake okay. Dam. I believe it's a 60. The regular weekend tournament will be going on, which is like $35 entry fee.
Okay.
And there's an open tournament that'll be going on. It's a $65 entry fee. They both have the same time, so you can fish both if you want to.
Right.
And there should be a pretty good time for those this weekend on Smith.
Okay, great. Well, there it is. Okay, if you wanted to get a little fishing, then head to Smith Lake Dam on Saturday.
See you there.
That's it. Hey, great. Thanks, Rex. Appreciate you every week.
All right, guy. Have a good one.
You too, Rex. Thanks. All right. There was Rex Chambers. Jason, our local pro, guy you need to really listen to if you want to try to get out and catch some fish. He knows what's going on in the lake. So, hey, it is 5:42. Melissa's going to take us to a break. We'll be back and wrap this thing up here in a few minutes on Sports Talk Live 95.5. Be right back.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or, if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors. AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday 7 to 5 and Saturday till noon, 734-0038, 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
All right, Ronnie, back with it, and we have That's found right. some interesting information talking about the assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart, now the highest paid, at least in the SEC. It does give the national rank. Number two nationally. I don't know who's ahead of him.
Okay, but Kirby Smart is number two defense coordinator at Alabama.
Right, $1,355,850.
$1.3 million.
Followed by Cam Cameron. I wish that was Cam Newton. LSU.
It may be before long if things don't get better in Carolina.
$1,315,967. And the sad part about this, coming in at number five, former Auburn defensive coordinator Ellis Johnson, $850,000.
The fifth highest paid coach in the SEC.
Yeah, and 14th national. So, hey, if let's say Muschamp goes to Auburn, South Carolina, whoever you want to say, at $2 million, that is going to knock these assistant coaches' salaries out of the water, ballpark, whatever you want to use. I don't see $2 million.
I don't either. I think that I mean, the universities. Yeah, and I mean, you got to draw a limit somewhere.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but you know, you look and there's Saban sitting there making 7.1, 7.3, and his highest paid assistant is making 1.5, 3 or something. But still, there's a big difference in you being the head coach as being an assistant coach.
That's it. Let's play a short game here. Total assistant salaries by SEC team. Who do you think highest paid assistants in the SEC?
Well, since
football team.
Well, since you said two of them are from LSU, I'm going to stay with LSU.
LSU is the highest paid assistants, $5,499,269
for all their coaches. Number two is probably going to be Alabama.
Number two is Alabama, $5,213,400
You got them all ranked.
Yeah, which is interesting. Saban making $7 million. All his assistants combined make $5,213,000
Which is $2 million less than his salary.
Yeah, I promise you, I would love to make what all my employees combined make. Coming in at number three, the Auburn Tigers, $4,645,000
Hey, Jason, let me go back a minute. Did Eddie not say that Kiffin's salary was $600,000 I think that's what he said.
$680,000
So that's going to change come next year.
Right.
Because Kiffin is not going to stay there at $600,000
Alabama, I mean, will probably.
They'll pay him $1 million probably.
Yeah, he'll get $1 million Texas A&M at number four in a substantial drop from Auburn.
Okay, tell me Auburn again.
$4,645,000
46. Okay, $4.6 million
Right.
And Texas A&M?
3.4
Wow.
South Carolina, 3.3 South Carolina not going to pay Will Muschamp $2 million if all their assistants combined
was
3,333,000
3.3 for all the assistants.
Right.
I agree. I don't think they'd pay $2 million for him.
One more interesting thing, running, and I'm not sure if we discussed this. If we did, we'll discuss it again for somebody that might not have heard it. But we talked about Auburn offense, time of possession.
Yeah.
Did we discuss that on Tuesday?
You did. You gave the number of minutes that they had it offensively.
And talking about the assistants, and Ellis Johnson made that pop into my mind.
But
for those that might not have heard it, Auburn ends up with about 4 minutes more of possession time than their opponent this year. So.
Yeah, you know, we talk about, you know, you think of hurry up, that it's your defense spends most of the time out there, and that's not the case if you're able to get first downs. And that's not a rocket science thing. If you're trying to play hurry up, and you can't get first downs, then you are in a world of hurt. But in Auburn's case, they were able to hurry up and still was able to certainly move the football. So, you know, that argument is kind of thrown out the window there. At least at Auburn.
Right. And the story I take away from all these numbers I'm seeing running is if you are an assistant coach, you're not hurting.
No. I mean, no. You know, if you're making $1 million to 1.5 or whatever, or you know, that's a pretty good income.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I would get by on that.
I could live on that, couldn't you? Just like Gene Chizik. He's living on $290,000 a month now. Every time I see him on the SEC Network, that's what I think of.
Yeah, you start seeing dollar signs.
Yeah, I tell the boys, that guy sitting right there, he makes $290,000, and he's thanking Auburn every day.
And he is making that plus his salary from ESPN.
Sure.
Auburn probably smart enough to put a clause in there that he gets that as long as he's not coaching.
Yeah, didn't you say that's the case? If he takes a coaching job, he loses that.
I think that, and don't quote me on this, but I think that is probably a two-year deal.
Okay,
After 2 years, he's free to coach wherever he wants to.
Does his money run out after 2 years?
I don't think so. I think that they'll still be paying him. So.
So.
Yeah, you had the months on that not too long ago. Remember you told me?
Yeah, if I don't remember.
So many months. Seemed like it was 39 months.
I think that's right.
Yeah, and Auburn could have it extended, but.
You know, 39 months is a little over 3 years.
Right. And they could have that in there, but most of them I've seen in the past are like a 2-3 year clause, and then and free to do whatever.
But. You imagine that, though? You sit at the house or do whatever you want to, and you know you're going to get a check.
Right.
You know, every week, if you're paid weekly, it's going to be well in the excess of $50,000. Matter of fact, it's going to be in excess of $60,000.
I'm not on ESPN. I mean, why does he need that money?
No, just
pay his electric bill.
Maybe so. Maybe it's just to stay in front of the cameras and to, you know, be seen so that when it comes time he wants another job, you know. You can sound smart when you're up there talking. That he's not. I'm just saying, you know, those guys, you know, they sound so knowledgeable. It's like they're drawing all this stuff up out of their head, and they're not. You know, you got those interns and people working in the backs giving them all the stats.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have all that mess memorized. Come on.
Chizik on ESPN, you would think this guy will never lose a game.
Oh, that's right. I mean, you think he's in that, you know, you think they're all Einsteins.
Because he can draw it out and use a little board and tell you why they done this and what happened there.
Uh-huh.
Well, a lot of that me and you could do after the fact.
You got that right. You got that for sure. So, but hey, assistants' salaries in the SEC or around the nation, they certainly aren't bad pay, are they?
No, the average SEC assistant would make, just by looking at this, probably in the, I don't know, probably 3.4 million.
For the staff.
For the staff, yeah.
Yeah.
The average assistant is probably going to be, we're taking the top 10 here, so the top 10, the average would be around the 700,000.
Pretty good chunk of change.
And, yeah, and you're dealing with the average of the top 10.
Yeah, sure. Hey, wouldn't you like to be an assistant, you know, football coach?
Right.
As long as you were winning a while. Of course, if you were like Vandy, you know, this year they come in, they're 0-4 in the conference, and I think their head coach basically fired his entire, entire staff.
What do you think happened with the Vandy situation?
I think they better get better in a hurry or he's going to be looking for employment.
I'm telling you.
Well, you talk about somebody falling off the map. They fell off.
Yeah.
Of course, that may be why Franklin was so happy to take his dream job at Penn State.
Right. I think it was. I think he was happy to get out. He saw the writing on the wall.
He knew what was left.
He took with him.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a lot of those people who had committed to come there, when he left, they decommitted and didn't go, and that's what they got left with. So,
have we got time to talk any recruiting? And I know we had some recruiting.
We've got a couple of minutes.
I'm sure I know where this is going. Alabama, number one in recruiting. They've signed all world.
Well, of course they're number one in recruiting. We can go through
Auburn had dropped to number 12, and I'm not sure where they are.
Well,
now.
This one right here has them at 9. So, you know, I don't know exactly how current that is, but they are currently at 9. Yes, Alabama is sitting on top again at the number one spot, which they've already been there 3 years in a row. This would make. This would make 4.
Which is less than the times I've heard that.
Yeah, I know. They're supposed to be having a stud quarterback. I think his name's Barrett Barnett or something like that, coming from out on the West Coast.
Quick question, while you're speaking of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Alabama's quarterback. His name is
Blake Sims.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I try not to think about it.
You're 50.
Does Sims have any opportunity of being drafted into the NFL?
No.
I think I agree with you. As sad as that is.
As great a year as he's had, I just don't see that. It's just a whole different world. I mean, you got great, great college quarterbacks that were great college quarterbacks for several years that don't even step on a field.
Right.
You know, NFL.
But he done real good his first year, but take Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Looked like all world in college his 1 year at Auburn.
Yeah. A freak of nature.
And he goes into the NFL and he's less than average.
Yeah, he is now.
Yeah.
You know, he had a couple good years, but they had some good teams. If you don't surround yourselves with good teams.
Yeah, you can't throw it laying on your back.
No, you can't. And you won't be laying on, in NFL, if you're laying on your back much, you're going to be laying on it a lot in the hospital. Because those guys, you know, it's just a completely different world. I mean, they're all.
Oh, yeah.
The size, the speed, the power, you know, while a college kid, you know, you're still in the 18 to 20 range. In theory, you're still kind of a kid, but once you get the NFL and you talk about the maturity, you know, going to a 24 to 27 to 30-year-old, that's a whole different world than a college kid.
Yeah.
You know, so, but quickly, I know you wanted this called out. Just for the sake of time, because we've got two or three minutes, I will just start with number 10, okay, and work our way back. This is currently what the recruiting looks like for 2015. Number 10, Notre Dame. Number 9, Auburn Tigers. Number 8, South Carolina. Number 7, Tennessee. Number 6, Ohio State. Number 5, Texas A&M. Number 4, Clemson. Number 3, Georgia. Number 2, Florida State. Number 1 is the University of Alabama has the top recruiting class right now. Now,
how many years in a row?
I think this said 3 years, 3 or 4 years in a row. 5 out of the last 7, something like that.
Seven out of the last 10.
That's right.
5 out of the last 20.
It's just like kind of how many national championships they won out of the last few years, you know.
So. Oh, don't get me started on the national championship.
So, anyway, but if we go back quickly before we got to go, let's see how that top 10, how many of them from the SEC? Auburn, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama. 6 schools. Out of the top 10 in recruiting this coming year are all out of the SEC. So, folks, I would just say if you're in other conferences and you like other conferences, you like to watch, you know, anything other than SEC, you might want to do better starting right here.
Right.
To see if your conference gets the recognition that the SEC does, because it all starts right there.
Yeah, you can't win the Kentucky Derby with a mule.
No, you can't. You know, it's like that old saying: you put that stallion and leave him in the barn for 363 days a year, and get that stallion out and run that mule every day practicing.
Oh, yeah.
And then run them, the last day of the year, and guess what? That stallion's going, he's going to smoke the donkey.
That's it.
That's just the way it is.
Real quick, before we take it to the house
for
the day, we'll be back with you next week, Tuesday and Thursday. And then we go into holiday mode.
True. Glad you mentioned that.
We'll may do a show to play at some point during the holidays.
Days.
But it won't be live.
Right.
When I'm here, Ronnie's going to be gone. Yeah. And when Ronnie's here, I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take a few days to visit Santa Claus.
That's it. That's right. So that would put us January the 6th. Okay.
Yeah.
January 6th would be that Tuesday. Okay. Great.
So, but Jay and Melissa's got a lot of great Christmas music
absolutely.
Planned. Fits in to go all Christmas, music before long.
That's right. And I don't know their schedule as far as their show on Monday nights, if they're going to, how they're going to continue that during the holidays. I'm sure they'll let you know. So if you get a chance on Monday nights, tune in. They talk a little politics.
Oh, yeah. I got in on that Monday night.
Yeah, you're not big in that political world, are you?
Not at all. All right, it's time to say goodbye for Tuesday. We'll be back Thursday. No. We're on the wrong day. We're Thursday.
50-year-old man doesn't even know what day of the week it is. I'll drive you home.
Yeah, please do. All right. We'll be back Tuesday with another edition of Sports Talk Live. Until then, Ronnie, War Eagle.
And a big old Roll Tide.
We'll see you Tuesday, folks.